We're going to find out all these things when we talk to our good friend Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. She is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mary Kay, does my, what is it, the Baskin Groan reflect the city right now when it comes to what's going on with the Browns and what we're watching in there every Sunday now? How are you, Mary Kay?
Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi, I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, I think it does. And it's funny because those collective groans and sighs, we've been doing that in the media room now for a couple of weeks. Every time we have to do something, we're groaning or sighing about it because this just didn't go the way anybody planned this year. It's really surreal and hard to believe, and I feel horrible for Browns fans.
Let's get this out of the way. A betting site sent me information today. Odds on the next head coach to be fired, Kevin Stefanski was number one. Do you think Kevin's in trouble this year, Mary Kay? I personally don't.
You know, I have no idea if he is or not, but I really don't think so, just based on the fact that they just extended Andrew and Kevin. The only thing is that we really don't know what Jimmy Haslam is thinking right now. We know he's an impatient owner, and he's not happy with what's going on right now at all. I don't think that necessarily means he's going to blow the whole thing up. But you never know with Jimmy how these things will go. So I think it's kind of stay tuned, but I really don't see it happening.
All right, let's just kind of go through the timeline here. And, you know, I hate to go back to this story about a couple. You were there. I was there. I mean, you could hear it, but it wasn't. And I had my back to it because I was watching the monitor on the other side of the media because I really wanted to see a couple of the replays of what was going on. And I just the fans that were cheering when Deshaun got hurt, and the platform that the players used after the game to make sure that they knew that they won't tolerate that and that they don't like that at all.
Well, first of all, it was hard to hear the loud cheers that everybody's talking about from inside the press box. So I wasn't really all that aware that those cheers were happening while he was down. I was also really focused on watching him and trying to see
exactly
what happened.
The same thing, Mary Kay. That's like what you just said is what I've said 100 times. Like I was in the press box. I was on the other side. It was the same thing, and I didn't hear that. And then I did talk to some people afterwards. Like it was a little too loud for comfort. That was what I was told. So
yeah, and I've asked around a little bit, and people on the field said that it was definitely a thing. But what I did hear the cheering as he was being carted off. But that's customary. I mean, that happened last night when Chris Godwin was getting carted off the field in the Bucks-Ravens game. So I think there was a fair amount of cheering out of support. And sure, there was some cheering going on the part of some fans. But it wasn't even as loud as the booing when he was first introduced.
No, and I think that also kind of set the stage in the players' minds because they were all out there. We all heard it because more than to hear the booing for Deshaun, we all wanted to hear the cheers for Nick when he got introduced.
Right, yeah. So it was kind of a mixed bag of emotions the whole afternoon, and it's just unfortunate that it ended that way. I actually think, and I've been telling you guys for a long time, I actually think that there was more to Deshaun Watson this year than he was able to show because of all of the dysfunction on the offense going around him. I don't think he ever really got the chance. If you look at his last four quarters, and I know a lot of it was a dink and dunk type of situation, but in his last four quarters, he went 26 of 29 for 250 yards, and he had the Browns in position to score a touchdown on that drive that he got hurt on. And in the previous week, he had them in position to score the game-winning touchdown in Philadelphia before two false starts derailed it. And there were other examples of things that went on like that this season on what I just think is a very, very dysfunctional offense that it would have been very hard for any quarterback to succeed in.
With that in mind, Mary Kay, and there, I thought he looked competent at times this season too, and especially as of late. I think you're right about that. With that in mind, what do you make of Kevin not committing to him as the starting quarterback in the fall? And he didn't say he wasn't. He didn't say he was. Was he just being a nice guy and saying, hey, here's the situation. We're not going to deal with that. Or are they not committed to him as the starter next year if he's healthy?
I think they were in a situation where they were evaluating it as it stood before he got injured. They were probably trying to figure out, is he someone that we can win with in a big way going forward? And so in some ways, I think Kevin is right in not committing to him going forward, because then sometimes you have to eat those words. So it's probably better for him to just leave it nebulous and not really put any parameters on it right now. So I understand where he's going with that.
All right, where are we going with the quarterback situation? And if DTR is healthy, does he start? Does Jameis Winston start? Bailey Zappe, where is he in the mix on this? Because he'll have to be on the active roster.
And are you looking for more Mary Kay than just somebody to play the last 10 games?
Well, certainly with the trade deadline coming up on November 5th, you're probably going to look around for trade opportunities. Of course you would, because now you're really looking at next year and the year after and the year after that to figure out what you're going to do. And if you see something out there that you think can help you, you definitely should go grab it. You cannot wait until March or April to try to figure this whole thing out. As far as Deshaun is concerned, I don't know if he's played his last down of football for the Cleveland Browns. I've said that before about quarterbacks, and it hasn't proved to be their last down of football for the Cleveland Browns. So I think you can never say never, although it does feel over. You have to come up with contingency plans. You have to come up with another quarterback who you believe can start the season for you in 2025. As far as this year is concerned, I think that certainly they're going to want to see more of Dorian Thompson-Robinson, unless they go out and get themselves another quarterback that they want to take a look at. But they will want to see more of him. I just don't know if that more is going to start this week because he has this finger injury. I personally would not put him out there against this Ravens defense, against this Ravens team, and put him in harm's way. I asked Kevin about this after the game, about DTR maybe needing to play with a little bit more control, and he said there were a lot of learning/teaching moments in that game. Well, that doesn't say to me, hey, he did a great job, he injured the finger, and we're counting on him for next week. I think that they should throw Jameis Winston out there. If you run DTR out there against the Ravens, you run the risk of shattering his confidence, and they don't need that right now. They should let him start a number of games this season, but maybe not until a little bit more towards the end of the season, although that's going to be a grueling stretch in and of itself. But you have plenty of games in which to evaluate DTR this season. I don't think the next one should be against the Ravens.
Mary Kay, is it more critical to see if DTR could be your starting quarterback if you need one for next year? Or is it more critical to see if Jameis could be that guy?
Well, like I said, I think they have opportunities to see what both of them can do. And the fact that they demoted Jameis to the number three quarterback, I think, speaks to how they evaluate these guys. I think they felt that DTR had climbed up above Jameis as their next best option. So I don't know that Jameis would be somebody that they would be looking at as their starter. Quality backup, yes, but I don't think that they would be thinking of turning the reins over to him next year. I think they would want to go younger. I think they would want to go more mobile. I just don't see that as something that they would be thinking of doing.
What does it mean if the offense starts to sing now? What if the offensive line looks better going into this week? What does that tell us about the big picture?
Well, the offensive line should start to look better week after week. Now that you've got Ethan Posick back, you've got Jack Conklin got a little banged up in this past game, but he should be back out there. Jed, you know, hopefully for Jed and for the Browns, he'll continue to get a little stronger as he goes along. He's obviously still working through knocking off the rust from his surgery. Dewan Jones, who had to go in there for Jack Conklin for a bit. Again, we saw him shaking off some of the rust. And then I think all of them have suffered from the loss of Hall of Fame offensive line coach Bill Callahan. So it just hasn't been what anybody expected it to be. But they should play better in the future, considering that they're getting healthier.
Mary Kay, is this roster good enough that you don't, shouldn't, bad idea to start trading away key guys and accumulating draft choices? I personally think, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I'm not moving those guys. I'm keeping them here, and I'm going to go for it next year.
Well, you know, you look at teams like the Steelers, they don't gut the football team and start over, do they? I mean, they don't. They keep intact their core players, especially the defensive players, and they say, hey, we have to go figure something out because Kenny Pickett didn't work out for us. So what did they do? They went out and they got two starting caliber quarterbacks in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. So that is how you do it. You go out there, agreed, and somehow, some way, you find yourself a quarterback, and you keep intact the core of your football team, the Myles Garretts, the Denzel Wards, and those guys. And then you just keep rolling along. If the Steelers can do that, the Browns should be able to do it too.
Agree completely.
But will they? That's the question. Because, you said it before, you've got an anxious owner.
Well, we'll have to see what he does or what he's thinking. I don't know yet what the thinking is there by any stretch, but that this is what they should do. They just have to find, if you can find a quarterback and at the right price point, and maybe you find that quarterback in the draft, maybe you find your Jaden Daniels, maybe you find your guy and you have him on his rookie contract and you can dig out from underneath the Deshaun Watson contract. If you can do that, then you can be back up in business in short order. You need a couple more receivers. You might need an offensive tackle. You need another edge rusher. But you can add those pieces. I don't think that they should hold a fire sale.
Mary Kay, as always, thank you for your perspective. We appreciate it. And
thank you,
we will
Mary
read
Kay.
You every day in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's dive into some of the things she had to say because she did some interesting stuff. So we'll come right back into that, and we'll do that. You can call in at 216-474-0092.